Amen. If you'll open your Bibles this morning to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12. For those of you who take notes, I've entitled the message, Sowing the Inner Garden. Sowing the Inner Garden. Thus saith the Lord, Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I'm going to look at one part of that text this morning. The text has to do with farming, in a sense. And I thought it appropriate, since spring is only 34 days away, or at least that's what the groundhog says, farmers will soon begin tilling their fields and putting seed in the ground, because they know that without sowing in the spring, there'll be no reaping in the fall. And as we shall see, the seed time has many lessons that we can learn that are both personal and they're practical. You see, our hearts are like a field, and if we let them alone, the only crop that we shall ever get will be the natural weeds that grow there. Our Lord teaches us in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 22, For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, and foolishness. This is the crop that comes from a heart that's sown with the seed of original sin. This morning, I want to talk to you about sowing different kinds of seeds. I want to talk to you about sowing in the home farm, the plot of soil that lies deep within your hearts. But before we do that, let's pray and ask that God would give us the understanding we need to look into this verse. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have so many verses that give us instructions for every part of our life. And now as we come to this one, I pray that if there be one here who knows not Christ, that you might draw them to yourself through this message. And for others, Lord, I pray that there would be food, manna, and conviction if need be, Lord, that your Spirit would walk amongst us and that you would be blessed by the preaching of your word. And we would be edified, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We should begin by first observing that this message is not meant for the unregenerate souls, the unregenerate heart, the unsaved. This message will do you no good. It's useless for you, if you're unsaved, to sow seeds to yourselves unless the soil of your heart has first been prepared by our Father in heaven, the great husbandman, Jehovah Elohim. The gospel seed, even sown by God himself when he was incarnate on this earth, could not bear fruit in any heart until first that heart had been prepared. My proof verse is John 8. 43. Here Jesus is talking to people whose heart have not yet been prepared. Jesus says, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It's because you cannot hear my word." You see, no harvest can come until the soil of the heart is broken up and made receptive of the truth. And that can only be done by the Spirit of God himself. And the tilling of that heart can only take place in one place, Calvary. So if you haven't yet claimed the Savior Jesus Christ at Calvary, then the only seed you can sow is the seed of original sin. The passage you need to claim is not Hosea. The passage you need to claim is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the passage you need, friend. If you claim the Son, you get His Father, the Lord of the harvest. That's how it works. And I would add that this was the very state that every born-again believer was once in. They too had an unregenerate heart, a heart that wasn't prepared. And then one day, let me say what Paul says. The Apostle Paul put it to the Ephesians this way: "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them too, we all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." That's the state of all mankind until the heart has been tilled by the Holy Spirit of God. So you see, the first step in sowing righteousness must be made by the cultivator of our souls. We see the proof of that in Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." The edge of the plow, like the edge of the sword, must be sharp so that it can cut deep into the heart soil of man and prepare the ground for the seed of the truth. There's no other way. The foul and unprofitable soil of the carnal and natural heart, it must be broken up from the bottom of the heart all the way to the top. It won't do any good to just scratch over the surface. You have to go deeper, much deeper than that. And all of us here, because we are all sinners saved by grace, all of us here know that our hearts are in need of cleansing. Which one of us has not felt the deadly root of sin anchoring in our heart in 1,000 different shapes? Pride. It enlarges our heart and it engulfs our life. Selfishness. The little kingdom of I lays its roots deep, even to the very core of our heart. Secret sins and desires, whatever they may be, they lie hidden away in the cockles of our hearts, in the folds, in the tiny crevices. We put them in there. We hide them there. And lastly, which one of us has not filled our hearts with the cares and the pleasures of this world? You see, man's hand and man's tools and man's psychiatry and man's philosophy are not capable of tilling this type of soil. Only the hand of God, using the word of God like a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrows, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, only that hand can till this type of soil. Only the one that carries the eternal sword has the power to break up the hard, stony soil of the sinner's heart. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there's nothing else in this universe that can do it. Nothing. I'd have you note that all of life in all of life, in some respect, is sowing. For example, if you sow to the world, you'll reap what comes from the world, the lust of the flesh. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap the things that come from the flesh, corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, then you will reap the things of the Spirit, eternal life. Galatians 6:7 reminds us, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will sow reap. The outward sowing in the field of the world is, however, that's not what the prophet Hosea is talking about in our text this morning. He's talking to Israel, and he's talking to them about the condition of their heart before God. He's talking about the coming chastisement that was about to fall them because of their idolatry and other sins against him. He was specifically speaking about their inner life and that what they were going to reap because of what they had sowed. And it is our inner life and the secret sowing we do in the enclosed garden of our heart that I want to speak to you about this morning. That little spot in each of our hearts that's hedged about by grace. That part of us now calls for our immediate attention. The sacred garden must be sown, first of all, with the good seed of the Word of God. It must be watered and weeded by the Holy Spirit so that from the soil a bountiful harvest will be reaped with an abounding joy by those workers who are doing the reaping. And all that, beloved, will bring glory to God. To begin with, the first thing you should be sure of is that the real seed of faith in Jesus Christ has been sown in you. That's the first thing you need to look at. Trust Him. Depend on Him. And in Him alone, making Jesus the Lord of your life. That's the germ in the seed of faith. My proof verse is John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And no one can keep God's word unless they are regenerated by the Spirit of God Himself. 1 Corinthians 2:14 reminds us, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot know them. You see, my beloved, Christendom is filled with professing believers who know Christ mentally, but there's not a kernel of faith in them which empowers them to live their life for Christ. They're called tares. I have a proof verse for that as well. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And you can't walk in the Spirit unless you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Your daily walk with your Lord and your submission to His Word is the evidence of whether or not the seed of faith has been sown in your life. It's not what you say that matters. It's how you live your life that matters. James 1:6 promises. Excuse me, I got ahead of myself. What you do. So make it a habit every single day. If that seed of faith, that kernel of faith has been implanted in your heart, make it a habit every day to step out of the boat in faith. Make it a habit to expect great things from God. And make it a habit to pray and believe that it will be done for you. James promises us in 1:6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That's how you know you have the seed of faith, that kernel of faith, because it empowers you to do the impossible. You can't live a Christly life unless that seed is implanted in the soil of your heart. We should also sow to ourselves another type of seed, a seed that we sow in that little garden, the seed of repentance. Pray to God that He will convict you of your guilt and that He will make your sin known to you so that you might repent of it. You need to cry out like David, my beloved, in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Listen to how David cries out, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's what we need to do every day. This needs to be your soul. There needs to be, rather, in your soul, my beloved, a deep sense of the power of sin and how it wants to reign in your heart. You see, you have to believe, first of all, that there's no such thing as a small sin. You have to believe that every sin you tolerate, that you allow to live in your heart, will ultimately lead to chastisement. You have to believe that there is nothing in this universe that is more infectious and more destructive and more cancerous than sin. You have to believe all that. You have to make that part of your life every day. You need to pray that God will give you the grace to detect sin. And once you feel it crawling, slithering into your heart, get rid of it. Confess it. And then, most importantly, learn to hate it. We're so callous to sin because we live in a world of sin, because there was a time when we were all sinners, that sometimes we tolerate it. "Oh, I made a sin, forgive me, Father," and move on. You don't hate it when you do that. You're confessing it. You need to learn to hate sin. Because if you don't, I'm here to tell you. No, God is here to tell you in here. Sin carries with it three sisters: death, destruction, and decay. Every sin carries death, destruction, and decay. Every sin. A lie, murder, adultery. All of it's the same to God. Death, destruction, and decay. You have to learn to hate it. Matter of fact, Psalm 97:10 instructs us, "Ye that love the Lord," simple, "hate evil." Seven words, says it all, hate evil. Jude 1:24 reminds us to not even let sin touch our clothes. The writer says, "hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." And it's also interesting to note that the God of this universe hates only one thing. He hates sin. And this should also be the only thing that we hate: sin. Another seed that you need to sow to yourself. And oh, if I have a rabbit trail to go on, this would be it. Bible study. Bible study is another seed that you need to sow to yourself in righteousness. If you want to bring forth a harvest of wheat without tares, you must have a good understanding of God's word. Let me say that again. If you want to bring forth a harvest of any kind to your Father in heaven, you must have a good understanding of God's word. If you want to bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit that lasts, You have to be nourished by the root of Jesse. Our Lord reminds us, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. And you know what? You can only abide in Jesus by studying the Scriptures. And I have a verse for that. John 5:9. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Every true disciple of Jesus Christ should be a Bible student. Every one of them. Because how else can you know your responsibilities to your Father in heaven? How else can you know how to plant seeds in other lives? And how else can you know when the crop is ready for harvest unless you have a good understanding of God's Word? As believers, it's imperative to study Scripture so that we can feel the power of the truth in such a way that dominates our entire nature. It's only when you know God's Word, you know that no matter what crops up in your life, it's right here. This is the answer. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to pray about it. All you have to do is read about it. It's here. And if you're not here, if you're not studying, if you're not getting together with brothers and sisters, and you're not rubbing against each other as iron sharpeneth iron, you're not going to know. Now, God may have called you, God may have elected you, and you may be going to heaven, but I'm here to tell you that you may be going there as a pauper. I'm here to tell you that the blessings that God has for you on this earth, you're never going to get. And you're never going to use them because you've never applied them. You've never asked for them. You've never looked them up. Fanny Crosby, one of the greatest hymn writers of all time. So prolific, she wrote over 6,500 hymns. She was born with her sight. A doctor made a terrible error when she was a child and gave her medicine that blinded her for the rest of her life. And she went on and she became the great hymnal writer of all time. She wrote my favorite hymn, On a Cross Far Away, there stands an old rugged cross, a symbol of suffering and shame, just to mention one. Well, Fanny Crosby laid on her deathbed, and all of her friends and all of her students and all of her sisters and brothers came up and were saying to her, "Oh Lord, if you're willing to heal her," she said, "Be still." Talked to her about her sight and how terrible it was she was born blind. She said, "Be still." She said, "I'm glad that I lost my sight. I did God's word because I didn't have my sight. It was good in his pleasure. It was good pleasure for him so that I might earn fruit or bear fruit, much fruit for his kingdom. But most importantly of all," she told them, "I'm blessed above all people because the very first person I'm going to see is Jesus Christ." That woman knew this book. Blind by her eyes, but spiritually more astute than many people. Many, many people. You need to understand the Bible. You need to study the Bible. Because then and only then can you stand with your brother Paul, the apostle, and say, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which was committed against him, against that day." 2 Timothy 1:12. You see, our Bibles are written on paper, and that's really a great blessing. And it's confined to one book. That's also a great blessing. But I want to tell you, it's far better to have that Bible written right here. So that when the time comes that you hear the evil one, Apollyon, go, nobody's watching. You could do it. Go ahead. You don't need to have this nearby to say, get thee behind me, Satan. I serve a risen Savior. I will not sin. Having it written on the fleshy tablets of your heart is where it belongs. Then you're able to live in the Spirit. You're able to walk in the Spirit because you're biblically literate. Then you can protect yourself from the evil one because you understand his ways. To grow in Christ, oh, brother and sister, the Bible has to be your milk and it has to be your meat. And you have to take from it every day. And if you don't think that's true, if you think that this is just a preacher who just wants you to study, go without food as often as you go without this. And see how you feel. That's what's in your spirit. When you don't feed it, it gets weak, it gets feeble. And you become a victim. Because then you're lukewarm. When the devil comes knocking, you're not prepared. When the trials and tribulations of life come against you, you can't say like Fanny Crosby, the first person I'll see is the Lord Jesus. You can't look for the spiritual end of your life because you're too much focused on the physical aspect of your life. You don't do that when you study your Bible. In my short walk as a Christian, I have seen much evil, and I have seen many, many miracles as I walked with my Master. And I have been both enlightened and encouraged by these experiences, only because I have witnessed each and every one of them in the context of Scripture. We should never forget that we are spiritual creatures. And God has given us a spiritual book to guide us and to help us. And if we don't take time, if we don't take time to study Scripture, we have not only offended God because we have not embraced His holy gift, but we lose the blessings that come from understanding and applying God's Word to our lives. The first clause in our text this morning teaches us that whatever is sown should be sown in righteousness. That is to say, we must be sure that the seed we take into our hearts is the genuine seed of truth. Scripture tells us to test the spirits. In 1 John 4:1, we're reminded, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." 1 John 4:1. Just don't take the seed and assume that it's righteous because your grandfather gave it to you or your mother gave it to you, or even that you got it from me. That's why all Bible-believing churches have Bibles in the front of the pews. Look it up. Lastly, the second clause in our text tells us that we are to reap in mercy. Reap in mercy. All that we have, all that we sow, or all that we will ever reap is due to our Father's mercy. God has tilled the soil of your heart, and in this inner garden, He has planted the gospel seed. The seed of Jesus Christ implanted into your heart has put life into that soil. And now your job is to sow the seeds of righteousness every day. We do that by growing in Christ every day. We do that by walking in good works every day. We do that by living in the Spirit every day. And we do that by loving and caring for the saints every day. That's what sowing the seeds of righteousness to ourselves is all about. That's how we're to tend the sacred inner garden. That's how we grow fruit so that we can harvest it for our Master, the Lord Jesus. So you must be vigilant, my beloved. You must be vigilant that you sow the seeds of righteousness in your life every day, because you will reap what you sow. That means if you choose to neglect your inner garden and it becomes a field that is barren and filled with thistles and thorns, there'll be no harvest to reap for your Master. There'll be no crops or no fruit to gather into the Lord's storehouse. Because although the ground was tilled by the gospel seed, you neglected to plant the seed of righteousness into that fertile ground. Your focus wasn't on the Bible studies. Your focus isn't on prayer. Your focus may not be on worship or fellowship or any of the other seeds of righteousness. And perhaps you're caught in the little kingdom of I or the world, or you're caught up in the lust of the eyes. That's what happened to Judas Iscariot. His heart was tilled by God incarnate himself. But the seeds of righteousness weren't his focus either. He was more interested in silver, money. But the seeds of righteousness that he had did not do any good for him. If I'm speaking to you, then beware of the warning of our Lord Jesus that he gives us in Matthew 7:19. He says, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Or perhaps there's one listening here this morning whose heart has not yet been tilled by the divine husbandman. But you can feel the plow stirring your heart. If that's you, see me after the service and I'll show you in God's word how he's calling you and how he's preparing your heart for the gospel seed of Jesus Christ. In closing, I'd like you to take this message home this morning, one thought home this morning with you, brothers and sisters. Those of you that know Christ, those of you that are trying to plant the seeds of righteousness in your inner garden, I'd like you to ask yourselves, what kind of seeds are you putting in your inner garden? What kind of seeds are you planting in your family, and what kind of seeds are you planting in the world? And I would also ask you, what kind of harvest can you expect to lay at your Master's feet one day? Will you hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or will you hear the words, "Put him in the outer darkness where there is gnashing of teeth"? I pray that your inner garden is being filled with seeds of righteousness that you plant every day. And I would encourage you, I would tell you, I don't know what other words to use, I'm at a loss. It all comes from studying your Bible. It all comes from praying. It all comes from worshiping God as you're driving to work. And you see somebody that's driving crazy, pray for them. If you're falling off the roof like Brother Wink, don't look down and say, "Uh-oh, broken leg." Say, "Lord, catch me." Walk in the Spirit of God. And I pray that your inner garden, if it's fruitless, I pray that you will make the time to sow to yourselves the seeds of righteousness, and then you will reap in mercy. Let's pray. Father, there are very hard things in this message for us to deal with. It seems as if this world just steals our time from when we're very young until they put our remains in the ground. All we're doing is running to and fro, Lord. And Lord, all of us are guilty of not taking the time. No, Lord, making the time to study, to pray, and to worship you every single day. God, I pray that you would make us, that you would encourage us, that your Spirit would rouse himself within your children to remind them to plant the seeds of righteousness every day in the inner garden of our lives, that we might, Lord, one day reap a harvest, a bountiful harvest for your kingdom. Help us, Father, for we'd ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.